Welcome to another episode of the Unveiling Grace podcast. My name is Lynn Wilder, and we are ex-Mormon Christians United for Jesus. Find us at unveilingmormonism.com. And this is my co-host,
Michael. Maybe Michael Wilder. I don't know. Somebody. I'm here. We're excited, though. We've got these two great people back again. They decided to come back. We had to beg them to come back, but they said, okay, for God's purposes, we will come back and continue our story. What a great story it is.
This is Mike and Rosa Apata. They are pastors down at Calvary Chapel LeBaron, down in LeBaron, which is a fundamentalist LDS community. And they do Bible study, and they now have a church down there, and they teach the gospel. How do we know these two? Well, God did the most amazing thing a few years ago. He brought a sweet little dear who's actually a niece of Rose's to Jesus. And we're going to tell that story now. Tell us that sweet story.
Well, after we started doing Bible studies there in LeBaron, I want to make sure and remind everybody, LeBaron is northern Mexico in the state of Chihuahua. Mm-hmm. So kind of right below Texas, yeah? Texas, New Mexico, yeah? So look us up. But we were doing Bible studies there in our little living room, dining room for several years. And Lila was at that time, I think she tells me she was roughly 10 years old. And her mother wanted them to learn about the Bible. So she started bringing her and her little older sister than she is and a younger brother to Bible studies. And eventually Lila came to Christ there, to the point where she was actually helping with Sunday school. Yeah. Then as we moved into our building a few years later, she was our first helper in worship. I was helping Pastor Mike here, my husband, and doing worship. And immediately we all knew she was gifted with her voice. It was beautiful, beautiful voice. And she started just loving Jesus and wanted to really grow more and not do some of what's typical in most of the fundamentalist groups and Mormon fundamentalists, where women are just kind of married young and are kind of, since it's a religion of works, you earn your salvation by works. It's encouraged to marry young, have many children, and that's all works to get to the highest heaven. You know, it's all about works, not about the blood of Jesus Christ. So Lila, her heart was heavy as she was approaching 18. She wanted more. She wanted to really seek and know how to serve the Lord and how to be available to him. So my husband and I were just praying, coming alongside of her and praying, and God opened the doors through some mutual friends on Adams Road and ourselves in a conference that we went to there in the Southwest. The doors were open for a connection to Adams Road. And so our prayer was that she could go spend a month or two and just grow in her voice and see what the Lord would do with her, you know. And because my husband says, like you said, he says, I didn't know what more to teach her on worship and singing and instruments. I'm just very, very, you know, not real good at that. So she went, and after spending a month or two there, she was invited to stay longer, and the rest is history. So if I remember correctly, she's been with Adams Road Band about 8 years now, and as the lead singer, and there's CDs available where we could all just appreciate the what the Lord has done in her life, yeah, through Adams Road and in the ministry.
And her video testimony is on their website, adamsroadministry.com. And her name is Lila LeBaron. Lila tells the most amazing story when she goes to churches and gives her testimony. First of all, many Christians don't know that polygamy still exists, right? And they have never thought of these folks kind of as a group that needs to be witnessed to or that you might talk to about Jesus. sometimes they're kind of aware through like reality TV shows like My Five Wives. But when Christians hear Lila's testimony, there is barely a dry eye when she says, I have 33 siblings, several mothers in my family, and that things were rough growing up. I find it an amazing miracle that she made it to 18 without being married. How in the world do you think that happened within the community?
By the grace of God.
By God's grace and lots of prayers. Lots of prayers. We had lots of prayers going on for her and asked the Lord to just protect her and help her and lead her. And we were just available to him again. And here's Adams Road. And that was where she started blossoming. She started growing. She started understanding even a deeper walk with Jesus. So it's been beautiful to watch that. Beautiful to watch that.
And we have interviewed Lila a couple of times. So I would encourage listeners to go find Lila LeBaron. Interviews with us. They are at our website. Let's see, unveilinggracepodcast.com. She's a beautiful young woman, not married, but preaching the gospel and just full of Jesus. The difference, in our lives when we've been in hard places is really wonderful. And we're so grateful for you having reached out to her and brought her to Jesus at a young age.
I know it doesn't necessarily fit with the teachings of probably many churches. Even among some Christian churches, they use the verse that says, "If you aspire to be a pastor, deacon, elder, bishop, you should be the husband of one wife," and they. A lot of churches actually take that to mean that, well, you're not qualified unless you're married, okay? But that's not literally what the Bible is teaching there, okay? And so when young people come to me and they want to know, Pastor Mike, I really think I'm in love with so-and-so and we want to get married we think we want to do this, or we think we want to do that. What do you think, Pastor Mike? And I always tell them, in fact, I'll often share this at weddings. The Bible begins with a wedding in Genesis, and then it ends with a wedding in Revelation. Okay. The wedding supper of the Lamb. And we as the church of Christ, his people, even us guys with big old gray beards, we're part of that bride of Christ that he loves and cherishes and wants to be one with. And so I tell these young people, I say, look, right now, you belong to the Lord, right? And they'll, tell me about when you gave your life. Oh, and they'll tell me a short story, and I'll go, well, okay. You're already married. You're married to Jesus. You focus on the fact that Jesus is your groom, okay? And you are his promised bride. And if you focus on that and pray to him and seek him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you know what? He loves you so much that he will prepare you for someone, and he will prepare someone for you, and he will bring the two of you together so that he, Jesus, can love you through this person, and you can be his instrument of his love for that person. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That's what Jesus wants for you right now. And he's got so much more for eternity. And you know what? Lila, God bless her. She took hold of that, and she's doing such an awesome job with that.
Amen.
She is like a daughter to us. She actually came first to the bed and breakfast that Adams Road has run for 17 years in Winter Garden, Florida. And she has such a servant heart, and she just served people, and she cleaned rooms, and she made breakfast, and she smiles, and she's just full of the joy of Christ. And she little by little started telling her story and testimony and singing, and now she even composes songs, and God has just done amazing things through her. Who would ever guess, right, that that even Adams Road would have an arm that reaches out to this community. I know that in Southern Utah, things have changed quite a bit since, oh my gosh, his name, Southern Utah.
Warren?
Yeah, Warren Jeffs has been in prison, and then the feds took that land, and then they sold it back to polygamous families for a dollar or whatever, that many of the really strong polygamy communities have opened up to be willing to hear the gospel. In fact, several years ago, Adams Road was the very first Christian ministry. They spoke in the high school there in one of the communities, Colorado City, I believe. And 50 polygamists came to hear the gospel, and one woman gave her life to Jesus that night. And I wept. Never could have foreseen that part, right, of our ministry being in some way connected to your ministry. We're so grateful for what you do. So tell us what the conditions are there now. Do you see people coming to Christ?
Well, I'm glad that you led with that little story about the fundamentalists there. Because Lila and Micah and the guys have shared that they are really strongly praying and anticipate coming to Mexico for the first time this year.
Mm.
And oh, I've been praying for that. Now, there is an LDS temple in a colonia called Colonia What Is, okay? And it's about, I would say, 60 miles away from us, where we are. And this is where Mitt Romney and his father, George Romney, grew up, okay? George was born there, okay? Mitt's father. He could not run for president because he wasn't born in the United States. He was born in Mexico, okay? This is little known to most folks. So they made sure that Mitt was born in the United States so that he could run for president someday, okay? So that's how far back they remember. Well, there's still Romney's there, and there's still the temple there. And it's always been my hope and prayer. There's a high school and yada, yada, yada. I'm praying that God opens the door for us to be able to do an Adams Road outreach there in that colony, if not there, very close by in Nueva Casas Grandes. There's a stadium there. They have big halls there. They have high schools. We can do it. Okay. So anyway, just a little heads up of some of the things that we're praying about. But
wow.
Rosa wants to share with you a little bit about what God's doing within the youth in our church right now.
Yeah, right now it's really beautiful. And throughout, I would like to go back and talk about another niece we had. It was about the same time as Lila was leaving to Florida. We had a niece that was also went to stay with some immediate family in Chicago area. And She had a chance after some time to attend the Moody Institute. So she was able to graduate from Moody School over there, and then Chicago University and social work. And now she's moving out into the mission field, into Mexico. She's feels called to go into Baja and Tijuana and really work with the sex trafficking. So, you know, I really appreciate your prayers for her. She's also a LeBaron, a young woman, and with lots of talent and a lot of courage to move out as the Lord calls her. So as we speak right now, she's settling down for this ministry in Tijuana, Baja California. So, and that's also a young lady that came to Christ in our little house church, you know, many years ago. And so we're thankful for that. And we're seeing that there's the youth that are raised in our little congregation grow in Christ, and God calls them. Right now we have three of them that are in Bible college. And so one that started coming to us again from the extended LeBaron family, he's really felt led to go to England. So he's in Bible college in York, England. So in his last semester. And
Been there.
Really? Cool.
Yeah. So this is his last semester. And, you know, sometimes we wonder how in the heck the Lord's going to provide. But, you know, where the Lord calls, he provides. And we're seeing miracles, really, in these situations. We have another, Lila's niece, that is going into her second semester of Bible college. They're in Ensenada, Baja California, Mexico. So these are our youth that really felt called to serve in the community of LeBaron, to serve wherever the Lord calls them. And they're just not even a bit lukewarm. They are really in love with Jesus and moving forward. So there's two more that are praying about going to Bible college. So we always appreciate and love those prayers for our youth, because that's where we see a lot of growth happening. And they not only serve and bless their immediate family and extended family, but they're available to whatever the Lord calls them. So they're on fire for Jesus. And we're seeing lots of fruit from that area. So we're thankful for that.
Mm-hmm. So if people are interested, how might they connect with you?
Well, we're on Facebook at facebook.com. I think it's /calvarychapel.lebaron.com. Okay, that's on Facebook, calvarychapel.lebaron.com. And we broadcast our weekly service there. And or you can find Rosa and I at Mike and Rosa at facebook.com. And or you can just Google us, look us up there. And we're also on Google Maps. So you look on Google Maps and you look for Calvary Chapel LeBaron or Capilla Calvario LeBaron, and you'll find us on Google Maps. Also, our website is www.calvarylebaron.com. So you can find a world of information on there, and we would love to connect with you. So reach out to us, and we'd love to pray for you. We'd love to pray with you and have you share with us.
I'm not sure that Christians even know that these folks are out there. So first of all, I'm sure you would love prayers for fundamentalists, Latter-day Saints. Yeah. But how then would you suggest folks witness if they know someone?
Most important, don't argue with them. Don't debate with them. You get on your knees before the Lord God Almighty and ask him to give you a fresh outpouring of his Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you and bring people right across your path. And this is probably one of the most important things. You, if the Lord puts somebody on your heart that needs to come to the Lord, you start praying for them and you pray, Holy Spirit, please prepare their heart. And you will know that they're ready when the Holy Spirit brings them and has them begin to ask questions. Try and hold back until they're asking, because it's when they're asking that they're ready to receive, okay? And then the Holy Spirit will pour into you and give you exactly what to say for that moment and that person.
I am glad, Rosa, that you mentioned the Bible study experiencing God. I had quite a supernatural answer to prayer one time in that Bible study. We were asked to pray, God, open my eyes to someone within my sphere of influence who might be interested in Jesus, whose heart you are already softening, right? The very next day, I went to work and a woman called me in her office and said, I dreamed about you last night. And this woman was seeking Jesus. And she felt like Jesus was sending her to me for answers. I was a new Christian. I was just overwhelmed. I didn't know how to bring anybody to Christ. But I began to ask her the questions, like you said, just ask until you find this point of vulnerability where someone needs answers, right? That experience let me know that the Holy Spirit is real, that he puts people in your path for a purpose, and that you're not here for no reason. Once you're a believer, that is your purpose, to tell other people about Jesus. But not everyone's willing to listen, and I can't see into your heart, but the Holy Spirit can. Yes. And so asking for the Holy Spirit's help, he does absolutely amazing things. Mike and I had an experience again just a couple of weeks ago where a Mormon girl from Idaho ended up in Fort Myers, Florida, didn't have a place to live. One of our assistant pastors took her in, calls us up. We have dinner with her, 6-hour dinner in the Word, right?
Praise the Lord.
And I said to her, God sent us specifically to this church like 10 months ago. Of course he sent us there because he knew you'd be here at this point for his purposes, right?
Yes, yes, yeah. So beautiful. Yes, yes.
You know, I enjoy when people, you know, as Pastor Mike said, you know, you can't get out there with the Bible and thump and, you know, say everybody's going to hell. You got to be a lot like the way Paul taught, you know, be patient, be kind, as also the Apostle Peter taught, you know, but what I always like to do myself is when somebody, you know, we're going to edge there, I said, well, this is what it says in the Bible. How do you reconcile that verse in what you feel and what you teach? Because it seems to be different. I mean, maybe I'm just off here. And that's always where they have to start thinking, okay, when there's a direct conflict of their doctrine in relationship to the Word of God. So is the Bible not correct? Is it, you know, I don't think it's pointed out here by Joseph Smith that this is an incorrect verse, but it does not agree with what you guys are teaching. How do you reconcile that? Questions. And I think questions will always draw people in instead of telling people, you're wrong. This is what it says. You know, if you don't repent now, away you go and you're going to burn in hell. That does not help anybody. So it's always got to be with love and kindness and understanding. And as you know, Pastor Mike and Rosa, is that we don't convert anybody. It's the Spirit mm-hmm. of God, what you were mentioning earlier. We're just the messenger with the good news, and God prepares these people's hearts And we just have to, you know, just bring it forth and let God do the converting. And it may be in 10 minutes or it may be 10 years later. You just don't know. It's his work and for his glory, not for anything that we can boast of. So, wow, this has been an amazing adventure just to talk with you guys, because it's not easy. You know, I mean, we were in Mormonism to come out. I always tell my Christian friends, it's not like going from a Baptist church to a Methodist church. It's a huge paradigm shift. And imagine coming out of FLDS into Christianity. It's even a bigger shift. Yes. And what you guys are doing, laying the foundation there to help people, may God continue to bless you guys and uplift you. And hopefully Lynn and I can get down there too someday. God willing.
Please do.
That would be.
Please do.
Yes.
You know, I do well because, you know, English is my second language and my only language. So I'll just stand there and smile and be nice and not say anything.
That was one of the big debates I had with God when he says, I want you to come here, bless and serve these people and teach the Bible. And I'm like, but God, I don't speak Spanish. And he says, oh, don't worry about that. I made your tongue. So, you know, he's worked it out in amazing ways.
That's amazing. What he can do. Wow.
And we give him all the glory.
All the glory.
All the glory. Yes. Amen.
Thank you for who you are, for what you do, and for how you glorify the great God of the universe. Thank you for giving us your time and telling us your stories. May God bless you. Grace and peace to you.
Thank you for the joy of being able to share.
Yeah, thank you so much. And may God bless us all.